Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Now it is time for our Thursday interview, and this week we are joined by neuroscientist, psychologist Sabina Brennan, who will also, I think, be a name that is familiar to many of our listeners if they watch Fair City, where you played the part of Tess Halpin for 120 episodes. More on that in a moment. You have had quite the career journey, Sabina. It definitely hasn't been linear.
No, yeah, but I kind of just think we live so much longer now that there's room for more than one career. I left school at 16. I had done my leaving cert. But the height of ambition in our family was my dad just wanted, he worked for Irish Life Assurance Company, very proud to do so. And the height of his ambition was that one of his kids would work there. So I said, oh, I can do that.
Were you a daddy's girl?
I don't know if I was. My dad and I had the same sort of intellect and interest. He loved to read, and that actually probably is one of my earlier kind of signs that I would be interested in neuroscience. You know, he kind of had a book that I can remember, you know, Sweet Pea studies on genetics and, you know, eye colour and how we, you know, evolved from the apes. And as a really young child, I just loved that. But yeah, I did 15 years in Irish Life. I said you get more for manslaughter.
But it was a nice time. It was pleasant, and I don't think they pay you pretty
soon. No. It was kind of one of those companies at the time that expanded really, really rapidly. And so I think they had 1,200 staff, and about 1,000 of us were under 21. So, you know, it was kind of a place where you, for me anyway, where you worked to kind of party and go on holidays as opposed to it being a career.
Which is actually not a bad way, I think, sometimes of spending the early part of your 20s rather than being in this very serious, focused career. But there was always this love of acting, which had been with you from when you were a very young child. When were you first exposed to it, and was there any love of it within your family, and what was it about it that attracted you, Sabina?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. No, there wasn't any history in my family of acting. I just remember being 8 years of age, and this new teacher had come into the school, and she was starting to do after school classes. And at that time, the only after school classes there really was Irish dancing, you know, and maybe French classes. And she came in and talked about these drama classes she was going to have. And I just thought, oh, my God. I remember running the whole way home from school to beg and plead with my mum that I could do those classes. And I loved them. The others in the class were looking at me, you know, when she'd tell us to pretend to be a tree, like I was the whole way invested in it, you know, whereas the others were kind of looking at me, are you mad? Loved it. And then she actually saw something in me and sort of said to my mum, you know, she should really study drama. And so I did. A lot of people wouldn't be aware, but you can do speech and drama exams like you can do music exams. So I did them with the Guildhall School in London. But at that time, to be an actor, it's funny because my dad was in his 40s when I was born. And he would have thought kind of, you know, a woman being an actor was close to the, you know, most famous profession on the planet. Like it wouldn't have been something that you would aspire for your daughter to be. Plus, it wasn't something that I realised that an ordinary person could be. This is days before the internet or before, you know, you didn't understand. There was no way to find out how do I become an actor, you know.
Even though you really actually wanted to go to university, that was your original ambition. But as you say, your dad wanted you to
I don't know that I originally wanted to go to university. There was no one in my family had gone to university. I think we applied. I think the CAO only came out at that point and kind of messed it up a bit because no one really knew how to fill out the forms. But yeah, so I worked there, and then I got married young. That was one advantage of working there. There was a preferential mortgage, so we were able to buy a house at 24. You know, sorry folks, today I know life is really hard, but it was kind of just different then.
It was manageable then.
It was manageable.
Spent all those years in that secure job in Irish Life. But what was the, I suppose, internal moment of realisation for you that you wanted to pursue a different path, that you did want to become an actress?
I had my kids early in my 20s, and I just said to them, you know, I said to myself, well, as a mother, I want to raise kids who don't end up in a job they're just doing, you know, to earn the money. I want to raise them to find something they love and find a way for someone to pay them to do that. And then I really realised, you know, well, kids learn by example, and I'm not doing it. And so, yeah, then I kind of set about trying to find a way to go and be an actor. And I did apply. At that time, there was this first real acting school that was training actors to be professionals. You know, there was amateur kind of places you could go. And I applied for that because that was my dream, you know, to be trained. And I got in, and it was very hard to get in. And they offered me a place, and I said, I actually can't afford to go. And so they said, well, look, we'll let you pay by the month because we really want you in. But one of the criteria when you went to that drama school, it's where Colin Farrell went, and I would have been there kind of the same time, was that you couldn't work. You couldn't have a part-time job, and there was no way I could afford to pay the mortgage and go to drama school. So that's one of kind of my big regrets.
That you didn't get that formal that training.
Well, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even, obviously I had training, but it was more that they then had a platform to be then seen and cast in, you know, various things. So anyway, yeah, then towards my late 20s, I decided, I finished my qualified as a drama teacher, and redundancy actually came up in Irish Life. So I took it, set up a little drama school, and then set about getting real life experience in film and television. Even though I was trained as a theatre actor, it was film and television that really interested me.
And then you got your role in Fair City.
Yep.
And it, as I said, involved one of the first depictions of domestic violence on Irish television. What impact did that storyline have on you personally, I suppose? And what do you remember from the public's reaction at the time?
Yeah, I mean, it had a big impact on me personally because, you know, I would live my parts, you know. So, I mean, I would find myself coming home and arguing with my own husband, you know. And if you're crying all day in a studio, you know, you're exhausted when you come home. It was quite intense. It was really exciting to play. Fabulous, meaty part. Yeah, it was the first time, actually, that domestic violence had been portrayed on television. So it was huge. I mean, I remember being in the shower the morning after it had aired and the radio was on and hearing them discussing it on one of the breakfast shows. And I was interviewed a lot, you know, in newspapers and television. And funny, you know, people often disclose to you when they're interviewing. So it was much more kind of prevalent. Even men being victims, well, I don't think victim is the correct term now, but being subjected to domestic abuse.
And surviving it.
Yes.
And you have spoken quite openly about how difficult your exit from Fair City was. What did that experience, do you think, teach you in the long term, maybe about your resilience or your own abilities or indeed your reinvention now?
Yeah, I think one thing that I would say is, you know, that I was tenacious, always, you know, kept getting back up and knocking the door. And what it took me in maturity, I think, to realise was that don't forget that when one door slams in your face, to look behind you, because it can often, the draft can often open a whole host of other doors that you never would have considered walking through. And for me, that what came, you know, the idea of doing a night course after my exit from Fair City. For anyone who doesn't know, I was murdered by my husband ultimately. And yeah, I thought I'd apply to do a night course in psychology and happened to call the university on the day that their applications for mature students was closing. And I ended up doing an undergrad degree, which I absolutely loved, and then got a scholarship to do my PhD in Trinity.
Which you achieved a first class honours.
First class honours in, first in the class. I would say to anyone, look, I was 42 when I went to university. And, you know, since I left school and when I went to university, you know, all these high points had come in, you know, people were getting 9, 10 honours. And I was, and psychology was a high point. And I was dreading going in that, you know, God, you know, I haven't been in school, you know, for over 20 years. But I would say to anyone, you know, who's mature, if you've lived a life, if you've dealt with life's ups and downs and you've raised children and you've handled mortgages and all those, an undergrad degree is a doddle, provided you pick something that you love,
that you're passionate about.
And the neuroscientist in me coming in would like to say that actually when you are studying something that you love, it harnesses neuroplasticity in your brain and it is actually easier to learn.
And you did love what you did.
I loved
you
it.
Do love what
yes,
you do.
I
and
do.
People might think, how would you move from acting to psychology? But I can actually see that leap being really clear, because I think if you want to be an actress, you've got to be fascinated and willing to study the human condition.
For me, that's what it was. Yeah, I was never into, you know, actually theatre and the applause and the immediate audience. For me, it was understanding what that, why that character would behave the way they did or how that character would respond. So it's exactly what I'm interested in. It's why we do the things that we do. And psychology is a great segue into that. And then for me, the neuroscience just added this amazing layer to be able to link our behaviour to our brain. And I think that's really empowering. And that's really my mission now, that if I can get people to understand how their brains work, you then understand how you work and you have much more chance of attaining your potential, of being happier, of managing your mental health, your physical health, you know. So, I mean, I love it. You know, I mean, what I do in a way, I suppose, is still performance. I do a lot of radio and translating information. I write books. It's creative. And I give a lot of talks.
And what is it that we don't know about our own brains?
Oh, there's still loads that we don't know from a scientific perspective. But, oh my gosh, how your brains work, really explains how you work. If you take, for example, our limiting beliefs, our self-limiting beliefs, you know, where do they come from? They're just a story that your brain has made up from pieces of data. And it will pick pieces of data from your life that had some sort of emotional resonance for you or was important for some way. And that actually, if you go back and investigate that, may have been the opinion of one teacher once when you were 7 years old, and you're still living a life limited by that. And of course, when I did my PhD, it was into aging. And I did my PhD in and around 2007, I think. And I was doing research, and when I came across research going back to 1986 that showed that there was things that we could do to reduce our risk of developing dementia that nobody knew about. Well, the scientists knew about, and there'd been 20 years had elapsed. There was tons of academic papers, and yet nobody was talking about it. And that started me on, you know, developing websites and writing. My first book was kind of based on that, you know, how to keep your brain healthy and how to reduce your risk of developing dementia.
Can I just ask you about your move from Dublin to Cavan?
Yes.
Because when you came into the studio, you showed me a picture of your beautiful home in Cavan on the water, lots of land. And I have to say, I felt beyond jealous.
You will have yours. I manifested
it. So you've given up city living for country living.
I have.
And you're loving it?
Highly recommend it. Absolutely loved it. We moved December 2021, so still kind of pandemic time. And nobody. Just fell in love with the place. And obviously house prices in Dublin, and I lived in Clontarf, the house prices were very high. Monopoly money, really, because we'd purchased 30 years before. It allowed us buy this wonderful estate. But aside from that, is I had wanted to get more balance in my life because I'm a bit of a workaholic, and green space and blue space are just so good for your mental health, you know, and there's a lot of science there. And I think with remote working, a lot of us could spend more time in the country. I mean, I'm here in Dublin today and I'm, you
can't
know,
wait to get home, I'd imagine.
Well, no, I mean, I could be waiting. I could be waiting till tomorrow. I think there's a taxi cavalcade at the moment.
All right. Sabina Brennan, thank you so much for coming in to us and being our Thursday interview. I hope you get back to Cavan quickly this evening. It was lovely to meet you.
You too.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.